everybody. Welcome to my world. How's your world been? A little hectic? How about stormy? Yeah, if you live up north of me, you had some bad storms the other night. And we may get some here, too. It's a crazy bunch of weather we've been having lately. And I'll tell you what. I don't like stormy weather. I know we need rain. I know we need that. But the storms that we've had, the tornadoes out west and up north, whoa, something else. So welcome to my world right here on the Trim Radio Network. And we will have a guest tonight. And I'll tell you what, we've got some interesting things to talk about. I've got some good comedy for you, too. And I think we're going to have a little bit of fun tonight, too. Well, anyhow, before we get going, we have to do the disclaimer. Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a big grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out and tell your friends about the show and have them join us every Wednesday live. Did you bring your snacks? Did you bring your favorite drink? Are you sitting back and comfy? If so, you better get going. Okay. Well, what do we have going on tonight? Oh, yeah. I always have to talk about the Trim Radio Network. Because if I don't, you know, the big boss gets after me. He hasn't yet, but I'm anticipating. You never know. Hey, the Trim Radio Network or the TrimRadio.com group, the Fab Four. We've got Michael Bejas as the founder and CEO. We've got Roscala Stefan, the Chief Operating Officer and Computer Guru. And he's responsible for the day-to-day operational management of the network, ensuring efficiency and quality. And then there's me. I guess I'm supposed to be the Chief Relationship Officer, and I can't figure that one out. I mean, it says here, responsible for building and maintaining the foundational trust and goodwill necessary for long-term success. Well, we want long-term success. And if you want to do your own show right here on the Trim Radio Network, let us know. Let us know, and we will get you involved, and you can have some fun, okay? Also, we've got Victoria Smith. She's the Chief Marketing Officer. She's responsible for marketing activities, brand development, audience growth, and creator acquisition strategies. Boy, that's a mouthful. Hey, if your organization needs consulting for any type of marketing, get a hold of Victoria. She has her own show. We'll go into that in a minute, but get a hold of Victoria. She's excellent. I don't care if it's a local club or a business or a college or a university, baseball team, who knows? Get a hold of Victoria. She's great. Trust me. And how do you get a hold of us? There's the little red dot that came back again. It wasn't there last week, and now it is. Click on that red dot. And all you have to do is put in your name, your phone number, and you want to know more about what? Doing your own show? You want to know about joining My World's group? Or our shows that we do, send us a message. Let us know what's going on, okay? And it's easy to do because we use StreamYard. And StreamYard is a very effective platform, and it's pretty good. But contact us, okay? Wow, what else is up? Oh, yeah, I got to talk about the shows. We've got Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m. Word to the wise. This next Sunday, I believe I have a concert, but I will post that. It'll be the first concert of the season at the marvelous Tip Center in Tip City, Ohio. And we normally have a really big crowd for that. And we have fun doing the concerts, too. We've got about six so far planned for the year. And it's a bunch of musicians. Some of us played in colleges and university bands. Some of us played professionally. Some of us played in military bands in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere. You know, we've got some good musicians, trust me. So that may be next Sunday. I will check on that schedule and I will give you a posting if we have the concert next week. I will post an encore edition of Money and Change. It's a rerun, basically, but I call it an encore edition. So much for Money and Change on Sundays at 7 p.m. We've got Life Walk with Christ God with Michael Bejas. He's on at 7 p.m. every Wednesday just before this show. And then we have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever every Wednesday at 8 p.m. And we have Victoria Smith's Natural Marketer Podcast, and that's on Thursdays. So you want to check that one out. We have Offsides College Football Top 25 with Michael Bejas and company. We have the Positude Podcast. That's Fridays at 8 p.m. We have Adventure Awaits Around the Bend on Saturdays at 1 p.m. We have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck. Somehow I want to yell yeehaw for that, but Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck, Saturdays at 1:30 p.m. We have the Red Pill Reality Show, Saturdays at 9 p.m. to midnight. And Rascala Stefan does that show. And I'll tell you what, it's a good show. He does a lot of commentary. He has guests on. I've been on the show a couple of times. It's a good show, trust me. And for 3 hours, too. I can't do 3 hours. I can only do an hour. I don't know why. I can't talk as long as he can, I guess. Anyhow, we also have Revelation on Thursdays with Peter Kling. And you want to check out his show. It's a good one. Really is. And on Tuesdays in the afternoons, we have Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry. Yeah, and she's fantastic. And she has a lot of guests on and people that she's known over the years that are in entertainment. Check out that show. And if you want to do your own show, hey, right there, pitch your own show. And I'd be glad to add more pages to this so we get a whole bunch of presenters, because that's what we do. We like to have fun. How do you get a hold of us? Hit that red dot. Remember, put in your name, phone number, and I want to know more about doing my own show, okay? And how do you get the message to us? Send the message, okay? I didn't bring that down the last time, but it's there. If you want to support the shows and keep us on the air, you can donate, you can advertise, and we have very good, reasonable advertising rates, and Victoria can help you with those. And if you don't want to advertise, you don't want to donate, you can buy the merchandise. And boy, we have t-shirts, we have hats, we have mugs. They ought to continue the lettering on that mug all the way around so we can see what it really has on there. Also, we have Money and Change t-shirts. We have Money and Change insulated mugs with handles and lids. Those are nice mugs too, trust me. Then we've got the Money and Change white glossy mug. We have the Offsides College Football Top 25 Premium Piqué Polo shirts. We have the Offsides College Football Top 25 Unisex Garment Dyed Heavyweight T-shirt. We've got the kitty T-shirts. We've got more mugs for Offsides College Football Top 25. We have Rascala Stefan's Red Pill Reality Show glossy mug. Whatever happened to the morphing mugs? You know, you put hot stuff in and it changes the picture or the color or whatever. We used to have those. I think we need to bring those back. We've got other types of t-shirts. We've got creator hats. We've got, of course, the round mouse pad. You can't corner the mouse on a round mouse pad, can you? We've got those. We've got the embroidered beanies. And in some places, it's still cold. So, hey, buy the beanie. It's a good deal. Also, the Trim Creators Studio rubber case for AirPods. If you have AirPods and you want to make sure that you don't lose them, put them in the case. Buy the case from us, okay? And that's how you support us. So donate, advertise, or buy the merch. What else is going on? Oh, yeah. Our Facebook page. And I'll tell you what, I posted some stuff there. And during the week, I might post other things. After the show is over with, I will put tonight's show on a new page. And it'll be uploaded to YouTube tonight, right after the show. And I will post a link to it. And then tomorrow, Rumble will have it. So we're on YouTube and Rumble. So you can check us out there, okay? And just go to trimradio.com and you'll be able to get everything, okay? Well, what else is going on? You know, I always talk to people about GMRS radios, and with the bad weather that's going on, I want to tell you something. These radios come in handy when the power goes out. Okay, you can talk to your relatives with these things, your friends, people in town. They're a good emergency communication source. Okay, this is an Ocean 935G Plus with a Nagoya 771G antenna. Why am I specific with this? Because with this little radio, I can talk 35 miles away to a repeater and go 90 miles beyond that. So actually, I can talk to people down in Wilmington, Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio, Connersville, Indiana. People say, where's Connersville? Well, it's over in Indiana someplace. And then you take a look at Lancaster, Ohio. I've been able to contact people there. But it's a good thing to have. $35 gets you a license for 10 years. That's $3.50, okay? Buy Two-Way Radios has these. I'm not plugging them, okay? But it's a place to get them, and they're good, okay? But in an emergency, that comes in handy, especially during times like this. Wow, what else is going on? I've got to get into the program here in a minute. But anyhow, here's our page, okay? And if you want to join us, let me know. Just hit that red dot over in the right-hand corner and say, I want to join Stu's group on My World, and it can be done. They'll send me a link, and I will put your name to the group, okay? Wow, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, speaking of bad weather, we had some go through our area to the north of us last night, and we had some strong winds, some heavy rain, and some roofs came off of buildings. Good thing it was to the north, because I don't know about how I'd handle it down here. For some reason, where I live in Pickwell, Ohio, it seems like storms go around us, they don't go through us. And I think that's because the town was built between two rivers, the Stillwater River on the west side and the Great Miami River on the east side. For some reason, it's worked over the years. But anyhow, we're in that time of year where we get the storms. And I was looking around for different sources, you know, and I went to weather.gov, and they had an emergency supply list that you need to have. And, you know, do you have non-perishable food in case the power goes out? Flashlights with extra batteries, your GMRS radios, first aid supplies, not the cheap little ones that you get at Wally World, you know, Walmart. Get some good first aid kits. Do you have tissues? Toilet paper, that's an essential. You have to have toilet paper. Bags with ties for personal sanitation. Paper and pen or pencil. Do you have a sleeping bag or a warm blanket? Or you could even get one of those emergency sleeping, I forget what they call them. I always have one in the car, and they're shiny foil lined. It's a bivy bag, I think is what they call it. And in an emergency, I can open that up and slip into it and tie it up and be perfectly warm in warm weather. cold weather, I don't think so, but it will keep you dry. Rent your pliers to turn off utilities, you know, gas lines. You want to make sure you can turn those off. Personal hygiene items, travel size deodorant, cotton swabs, all kinds of items. You know, soap comes in handy, okay? A whistle to signal for help. Well, that comes in handy. I like to yell. How about important documents, identification, insurance information, banking information, wills, so forth. Emergency reference material, such as a first aid book, battery-powered radio, and a NOAA weather radio. Formula and diapers. I don't think I need formulas and diapers for me. But if you have babies, yeah, I would have those. Also, extra pet food, you know, if you have pets, and they're going to need water and they're going to need food too. And dust masks, do you have any of those? You can get those at Home Depot, or you can get them at, let's see here, Wally World, better known as Walmart. And can openers, you know, if you had canned food and you didn't have anything to open it with, you're in trouble. And how about eating utensils? Change of clothes. That's good. Always have extra underwear and socks. All right. Rain gear. Extra cash. You have to learn where to store it. But I know if I get in an emergency and I have to grab a to-go bag, I've got cash to help get me through. Paper towels. Always need paper towels. Fire extinguisher. Yeah, if you have one in the car. Cards or games to take your mind off of all this stuff that's going on? I don't know. I don't play games. I'd rather get my electronics out. Of course, then I got to figure out how to keep them charged too. But anyhow, just something for bad weather, okay? And you got to watch out for that. Something strange happened today. Strange things always happen to me, I guess. But today I got an email and it said Pickwell Watch. And I wondered, where did that come from? Who's doing this thing? I don't know. And it was talking about all different types of things going on. And you can see it on the screen, you know, new digital divide, municipal governments, grassroots resistance, and blueprint for citizen-led recalls, and all this kind of stuff. And AI infrastructure and all kinds of stuff. And I looked at this and I thought, I've never seen this before. And I wondered, you know, where it could have come from. And I'm like, gee, I don't know. And it has some statistics in there and different things. Meta was identified as the secret developer behind the $1 billion Pickwell data center. Well, they have information on that and so forth. And I thought, okay, this is information that's interesting, but I haven't had a chance to go through it. I really haven't had a chance to vet it. But I saw this Pickwell Watch thing and I thought, what is this? You know, they've got stuff from social media. They've got the local news. They've got Pickwell Unite. I don't know. Dating for progressives. I have no idea. Commission members, names and who they are and their terms and so forth, key city staff, different concerns. They talked about entities, finances, and so forth. Then they did their data sources. And I looked at this, I called up one of my sources and I said, hey, I'm looking at this data source thing. And they keep talking about the Daily Call, and the Daily Call hasn't been around for years. So why are they referencing that? And he said, you know, I don't know, but it could be an artificial intelligence thing. Well, I don't know. I wonder. But I saw that today, and I sent an email to one of my buddies that's a commissioner and asked him if he saw this information. Because it's news to me. It's just strange things happening. Speaking of strange things, I think you'll get a kick out of this one. Let's see if I can get the parrot to talk.
Got any funny medical jokes for us?
And what is the worst combination of illnesses? Alzheimer's and diarrhea. You're running, but can't remember where.
Yeah. Oh. I saw this, and this is artificial intelligence, and some of it looks like it has real humans in there, or the parrot can really talk, but it's all AI. Speaking of AI and everything, we have somebody with us tonight, and that's going to be our good friend Santa, better known as Quentin. And I'll tell you what, let's see if I can bring Quentin into this story here. There we are. How you doing, Quentin?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I got taxes e-filed and local taxes dropped in the mailbox. So, tax return. And I owed a whopping $14.25 on our local tax return. And they do paper. I asked my wife where the checkbook was. She had no idea. It's been years since we have used a check.
Mm-hmm. So how'd you pay it?
And I found an online way to pay it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I went through the trials and tribulations. I put everything together. And I took it down to the accountant and I told her, I said, hey, Terry, here you go. I'm going to let you handle it because I've got some other little pieces of paper in there that is beyond my intelligence. Okay. And you're a tax expert. I'll let you handle that. So she had it for about 2 weeks, called me back up. She said, we've got it. It's all done. Get your wallet out. So I went and got it, paid her. And kept it at the house for a couple extra days to keep the feds and the state from earning extra interest. And finally paid it a couple days ago, went to the post office and I said, I need to mail these things. I need to have them hand canceled. Can you do that for me? He said, you must be doing taxes. I said, you got it. And so I presented it to him and he ceremoniously stamped everything. And he said, there, you're done. You're paid. I said, thanks. Because I just didn't want to put him in the chute and suddenly find out that, oh, it was delayed by a couple of days. Well, you know how the post office is.
Yeah, you know, it's an annual thing that we all have to do, whether we like it or not.
You got it. You got it. Hey, if you notice over here in the one corner, there is a poll that I have, and it should city government charters contain provisions to recall commissioners for cause. I can't put a lot of stuff on there, but I thought I'd put that up there. That just happened. We just have this feature added.
So oh, that's interesting. You know, one of the things that's going on is that I talked about this week on Facebook was the change that slipped in to ORC 966 subsection D, which made basically any economic development project that's going to have some sort of tax incentive confidential. Everything is confidential. So I've been working on a survey of our representatives and senators to have them express an opinion on that. I've been busy the last couple of days finishing up our taxes, so I haven't got it done yet, but I hope to get that off. You know, it's really, I don't know, I don't have a good word to describe it. It's disheartening to see how this attack on transparency slipped through and by so many of our elected representatives to prevent, you know, citizens from finding out, a citizen watchdog like me from finding out. I'm not even sure how many of them actually read this change. One of the persons that's in the Mount Orab group sent Representative Adam Byrd an email saying, hey, how did this happen? And it was like, oh, one of the senators must have done that. He wasn't aware that it was even in there, it seemed. And it makes you wonder how aware of what the legislation is that they're passing. Because this isn't the only, I hate to use the word attack, it's a only not the only thing that's happened to reduce citizen participation. Last session, we had that change to referendums, where a local referendum went from 10% of the number of people who voted in the last gubernatorial election to 35% of the number of people. And when you look at a town like Wilmington, you know, that required about 1,100 signatures for that. But when you look at the last municipal election that happened, there's only about 800 people voted. So now we're getting to the point where we're requiring more people to sign for a referendum than have actually been voting.
Oh, I'll tell you what, sometimes I begin to wonder different things. You know, I go out, I have lunch every Tuesday when I'm available in town. I belong to a group called the Border City Luncheon Club, because Piqua was the border city of the Northwest Territory at one point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why they got that. Well, anyhow, this club's been in existence for almost 100 years. And it's interesting because a lot of people that are in there are lawyers, doctors, dentists, industrialists, or management type people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, they were giving me an earful this past Tuesday, and I'm sitting there, I'm listening to everybody. And I said, you know, you take a look at what's going on in Piqua, and it's probably going to be in other towns too. Maybe Trenton has that problem, or Mount Orab, or Wilmington, or whatever. Even Sydney, where you have a situation comes up, and you wonder how those people got on the city commission, and whether or not they had intelligence, okay? And the industrialists say, you know, in years gone past, we had people on the commission that were industrialists that donated their time and their efforts and so forth. We had bankers. We had industrialists, some major players. And we had common business people. We had people that lived in the community. He said, and lately it's gotten to be a joke.
When I was elected official, you know, it's been over 30 years now. Well, no, not quite 30 years, but it's close. And I was fortunate that I worked for a large corporation that allowed me the time to do that sort of thing. Now, I used up quite a bit of vacation as well, but they made sure I had time. They sent me to training, like a training course on media relations, where it's a 3-day course on how to interact with the print media, the radio media, and the TV media. Now, this was before the days of social media, or podcast. And, you know, I looked at the people who were also on the city council with me, and a lot of them worked for a Silicon Valley company. And, you know, we were young. There was, out of 5 of us on the city council, 4 of us were under 40 on there, but we were all young professionals. It is difficult for a community to be able to pull off that sort of thing, to have the type of have people who attend the type of training that you really need to serve. And, you know, so when you're dealing with the issues like a data center, they just don't have the skill set on how to deal with it. They don't even know where to look, what to expect. And you can't really blame them because they're a small town. They care about the community. Now, we get angry at them for some of the stupid things they do, but it's not because they don't care for the community.
Yeah, a lot of things happen. You know, you get people look at things different ways. And you get some of them that are the, what do you want to say, altruists. And some of them that are saying, well, I'm more practical than that. And one of them says, I'm a little bit more liberal than that. And they have to meld their ideas together to come up with a consensus so they can vote on something. And then there are some days where they just get there and they say, what the heck, I'm voting for it, you know. Or they turn it down. Or they declare something an emergency when it's not When it's not an emergency, they call it an emergency and pass it.
I saw something on that from Trenton that just happened on that with theirs. I haven't gotten into the detail. I've been sort of offline for the last 2 or 3 days.
Taxes will do that to you.
Yes. I had spent a lot of time over the weekend on that ORC 966 trying to figure out what happened and where the smoking gun was on that. I had the time to talk to one of the council members who decided not to run for a re-election, and he was talking to me, you know, I asked him, why did he do it? You know, and he knew some of the people who were on the city council. He said he was asked to it because there was no one else who wanted to do it. And so out of the five openings we have seven council members plus the council president. Well, out of those seven positions, eight people ran. And my ward, the council member's a good guy. I have met with him. He's concerned about the community. Has one of two on the council that is holding the data center industry to foot. He was reelected with 108 votes.
How about the others?
Other than the at large, you know, it's on a ward basis. So you're looking in the 200 to 300 vote range, but for citywide, you're looking at between 700 and 800 people voting across the board. It's an off-year election.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Go ahead.
You know, it's just, you know, people have a life and they don't get terribly excited until they find out there's 2 million square feet of data center going up 50 foot from their backyard. And by then, you're too late.
Well, that's right. And I'll tell you what. In talking with these industrialists this week, we got into a situation where we talked about succession management.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, how do you know about succession management? I said, I had to participate in it when I worked with the state because we had to be able to figure out who was going to be qualified to move up to the next level if somebody retires or quits. And do they have the skill sets to go there? And what skill set training do they need to achieve the next position up? And so I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be an interesting deal. Well, I went to these meetings, and I wasn't a deputy director yet, but anyhow, I went to the meetings, and they said, okay, this is where we want you to go. And so they sent me to Columbus State Community College. That's made about six different colleges I've been to, okay? And it was a totally different deal. I could be relaxed. I go in the morning to the office at 8 o'clock, sign in, and I had to be at Columbus State at 9 o'clock. I didn't get back to the office until 1 o'clock, and it was 3 days a week. It was the best vacation I ever had, but it was in empathy.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, why do I need empathy? You know, in business, here's what you need to have done. You assign the task to people and they get it done. If they're slow or whatever, you have to motivate them to get them to do what you need done, right? Well, they wanted empathy training where you can sit there and go, I understand how you feel, but, you know, and you go to guide these lambs into slaughter, basically, you know. But, you know, I went through that. And there were other training. People had to go take financial stuff. Well, I was already doing financial statements and stuff like that. So that was no brainer. But they wanted me to take empathy. Because the business training that I had prior to that was, here's the goal. This is how we achieve it. And we monitor the success as we go.
And well, you know, most upper level executives are psychopaths.
Oh, thank you very much.
No, I'm serious. That's, you know, and I'm talking C-level.
Oh,
C-level. I have been fortunate to work for corporations who believed in investing in their employees. If I could probably have college credit for all the training that I've had to take, I might have a couple of doctorate degrees.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you go through school for undergrad, then you go to grad school, then after that, you get out and you go into the business world, and the next thing you know, they have you doing more training, and then you go work for the state after that. And it's training on training on training on training, whether or not it was at Ohio University or Cleveland State. Now, that was an experience up at Cleveland State. Or OU Eastern at Zanesville, different places, you know, different classes, different places. It was interesting. And you only get like a quarter credit for this 2-day class or whatever. But it, interesting training. You got to meet a lot of different people.
Have you ever taken Strength Finders?
No.
For me, when I was managing people and had my team take that, it was one of the more useful courses that, or one of the more useful things that I've done, because it puts an emphasis on having your team do the things that they're good at not putting as much emphasis on being a top performer on some of the things that you are not as good at. You know, I think in the volunteer world, you see that a lot more, where people are doing things that attracts their interest, keeps them going, and you're much more involved with that.
We used to call it put your aces in their places.
Yes, that's Strength Finders. But it helps have a higher functioning team. A lot of the work that I did was always team oriented, and a lot of deadlines on that. And it gets back to what we're talking about with our local leadership. Clinton County, and I think it's a lot of the other counties and areas around here, has what they call a leadership training course. And I signed up for it, paid my fee out of my own pocket, which was not cheap. And It was, oh, probably 9-10 months where we met once a month. And then we had a project, you know, sort of like what you have with an Eagle Scout thing. You have a project at the end, you have your Eagle project. And I took the course, not because so much of the leadership portion of it, but because I was a newcomer to the community, and the course introduced me to who's who in the community. And it typically had about 15 people, 15, maybe 20 people in the class. I think the year I did it, I was in the 39th class. So it'd been going on for about, you know, nearly four decades. But you learn who those people are, who to talk to find out stuff. Where I was actually disappointed in was on the actual leadership skills that came out of there. And that's what we see with a deficit with our elected officials, is a lack of leadership skills. I spent a lot of time in the Boy Scouts as a kid, and then later when my boys were growing up, they were in Boy Scouts, and I took a lot of their leadership training there. And you learn what they call the 11 leadership skills and the different circumstances that you apply those in. And when I have a chance to talk to someone, I tell them, if you get the chance, take the Boy Scout Advanced Leadership Training. It will help you so much with what you need to do. And it covers every aspect of leadership.
And that applies to business.
Right. And it applies to sitting up there on the dais with the city council. One of the things I liked most about it, it talked about shared leadership. And leadership is a spectrum where, you know, you're working to be collaborative at one end of the scale and trying to reach a common consensus, all the way to the other end of the scale where it's authoritarian. Different places on that scale are appropriate at different times.
Yep. Hey, I'll tell you what, I got something here.
Okay.
I hit the wrong button again. There we go. Let's see if I can hit the right button this time. I think my eyes crossed and I had a problem there. That happens from time to time. I had some funnies planned for today, and I think I'm going to do this one. Then I want to talk about our government academy, and I don't know if you ever had that down in Wilmington or not, but I want to bring that one up because that was one of the things that we were talking about in that group on Tuesday. Let's have a little fun and see what this one is. You never know what AI will do.
If you want a man who listens to you, does what you want, and takes you wherever you want to go, get yourself a taxi.
Dad, my mother-in-law fell into the well down the street. What do I do?
Well, throw her some food. She's got enough water.
How's your husband treat you?
Real good, Mom. He buys me everything I ask for.
Well, that just means you ain't asking for enough.
Son, when I ask if you agree to take this young lady as your wife, the correct answer is yes. Not, it is what it is.
It's funny how punishments from childhood turn into pleasures when you're grown, like afternoon naps and a slap on the butt.
Honey.
I'll tell you what, I saw this today and I just about went nuts over it. Hey, I wanted to get into this thing on not succession management. You can go in and take AI and take a look at everything there. And we've talked about that. But one thing I wanted to bring up was right here about the Pickwick Government Academy. Now, we had that when Gary Huff was the city manager, and he brought that over from Lynn, Indiana. And the concept went over very well. And the basic overview here, I'll just do that very quickly. Interaction, meet and speak with the department heads and city manager and city staff. And then behind the scene access, you tour facilities, you learn about various departments and what they do on a daily basis. And then we have in-depth learning, discover reasons behind city decisions and stay informed on current topics and future development projects, and active participation, and engage in lively discussions and role-playing and hands-on activities. And the curriculum and modules, we covered the police, the fire, the health, and law departments. We covered utilities with power, water, and waste management systems, administration and city finance. We covered that with budgeting and technology, and citizen participation, how residents can get involved. And one of those sessions that we went through, I think it was 17 total sessions, I believe. But we met and we would get a very good presentation from each one of the department heads. And we'd be able to ask questions back and forth. And when we finished up everything, and then we got to go tour the facilities, we went to the power distribution system. And we learned how that worked in the big message board that they had, which is about, 12 foot wide and about 6 foot high. And if you have a situation in town where the power goes out at a transformer next to your house, it automatically picks it up, it signals it, shrinks it down to that transformer, and they know right where to go. It automatically makes a call to the call center and say, we need staff there. A lot of people didn't know that existed. And this was, probably 15 years ago. So anyhow, that we learned that. And then we went to the wastewater system and we got to learn how they handled wastewater from the beginning to the end. And you better be having some mints in your mouth because it got odorous, except at the very end. And they showed how that was treated. But out of this whole thing, it generated interest for people in the community to get on boards and commissions. And the good thing was, you couldn't get on a board or a commission unless you went to that government academy. You always get extra points. And so what they did, they did this twice a year. And they did this for several years. Mr. Huff retired. It wasn't started again. And out of that original group, we've got commissioners that were in that group. A lot of us that are in the different boards and other commissions were in that group. And some of us are getting ready to, in quotes, retire out of those groups because we've been there so daggone long. My case in point, I was on the Planning Commission for 6 years. I was on Civil Service, which I still am. And my God, that's been four terms, which they're 3-year terms. So that's 12 years. And then the Power Board, I think I've been on there 9 years. So, but out of that training, we got the interest to get people on the boards, not only from the public aspect, but businesses also sent people to the training too. So the government academy had a purpose to get people involved in the city. And when they stopped doing that training, then people didn't get involved. Did you guys ever have anything like that down in Wilmington?
That was that leadership Clinton County that I was talking about. It was, I don't think we had a tour of the city this time, but we did some stuff, went through like the county courthouse and went through the jail, which had to be the cleanest smelling jail I have ever been in. Not as a tenant.
On that one. Not as a tenant. Yeah, it's okay.
I had, as part of my various civic things, I had toured other jails, and they have a particular odor. The one in Clinton County did not smell like that. It was a pleasant surprise. but this was not so much a governance focus. It was more community-focused, learning about the industries that were in town. We spent some time out at the Port Authority and got to go up the control tower at the Wilmington Airport, and which is a long ways up there for a big guy like me. And so something similar, and that's where I was expressing my disappointment, is it didn't have as much leadership component as I would have hoped. But also, there was a large amount of corporate participation. We had people who were teachers and administrators at this school district, managers from a couple of the larger corporations here in town. And that was good to learn those people out there. Went out to an alpaca farm, went out to, you know, ag is still big in Wilmington. We went out to one of the vendors that sells ag equipment and toured the shop and things like that. It was really interesting. I really enjoyed it. But when I look at some of the skills deficit in our leadership that we have, that need is not being met.
Well, it's not being met in a lot of different places. But I'll tell you what we had fun doing. If you had a fear of heights, they put you in the tower truck at the fire department and shot you way up in the air. And of course, you were strapped in so you didn't fall out. And they let you up there for a while. Then they brought you back down. They took you over to an area, gave you a fire hose. They turned it on. And you see some weakling get up there, grab a hold of the fire hose, not brace themselves. And they're shooting water all over the street. You know, they had to have a fireman behind them to kind of guide them.
And one of the best things we did, they had, I think it was a DC-8 flight simulator. Mm-hmm. And I crashed.
Well, hey, everybody crashes. Sometimes they crash and burn, especially when they don't sleep for a couple of days. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we had all kinds of stuff going on. They had us mowing with these zero-turn mowers. And they took us out in the field and they said, okay, mow the field. And we all took turns and it was a blast. I could have stayed on that mower all afternoon.
Have you seen the zero turn mower barrel racing?
No.
Hunt for it.
Okay, I will hunt for that. I will definitely hunt for that. But anyhow, guys, you know, we talked about a lot of different stuff tonight, but it comes down to, if you want to get involved in local government to make things better, do it, because you can only get better. You can't get worse. Well, you could get worse, but basically people that really want to help need to help.
I have been trying to figure out where have we gone wrong. And often it's, well, you're talking about empathy there. To me, I see a certain lack of ethics associated with a lot of these things, not having a good grasp of what is the purpose of government. My stepson's high school teacher, I asked him about 6 months ago, do they still teach civics in high school? Because I just see, the level I'm involved at now, I see such a lack of understanding of basic government principles, basic democracy, basic citizen involvement.
I think they've gotten away from civics. I mean, when you and I went to school, we had senior civics, and that's what we had. And even when I went to college, I had to have a course in civics. Believe it or not.
Well, next week, I will have been a registered voter for 50 years.
Ooh.
And the reason it's 50 years is because my high school government class gave you an extra credit A if you registered to vote.
That never happened with us.
And the first election, the 1976 was the first election I voted in.
Well, that would do it. But a lot of people have to, you know, and we have to end here in a few minutes, but a lot of people, you know, they say, well, what about ethics in government? And you wonder if people who are in commissions have had ethics training, whether they've had the necessary training to be commissioners. And I'm finding that maybe up in Sydney, I'm finding it locally, I'm finding it in other towns.
People become so consumed with maintaining the power that they lose sight of what their purpose may have been originally. And, you know, I was an elected official back in the 90s, and you could see it even back then. You know, to run for office, it takes money. And I hated fundraising. I hated fundraising. But it was a matter of a lot of times you just held your nose and took contributions from people who offended you the least.
Well, actually, I don't think we do that here. As such, there's some fundraising involved, but locally it's not that prevalent. Okay. You put out a few signs and spend your time going door to door talking to people. And that's basically it. Maybe an advertisement here and there, but that's usually paid for by a committee. But it's interesting to see people, and they keep saying, well, there's ethics, and there's no ethics in Washington. Well, there hadn't been any ethics in Washington in years. But people need to take a look at that, and what's legal, what's not legal. There was something I found out today, and we don't have time. We're just about out of it. Anyhow, it was on about a judge. And a judge cannot be a lawyer during a trial. And I posted that on my Facebook page. It was interesting. It stated the law. And it said, when a judge ceases being an impartial judge, then he violated a misdemeanor misdemeanor of the highest degree. So with that, Quentin, I'll tell you what, we've got to get out of here. I appreciate you being on the show, like always, because we always have
good discussions. Some good conversations.
I know, and I'll tell you what. Next week, I think we're going to have Barry will be with us, and I believe it's Jessica Adams Smith.
Oh, okay.
She agreed to be on the show.
Yeah, I talked to her yesterday. She couldn't do it tonight. Next week is my birthday, so.
Well, happy birthday, because tomorrow's
on Wednesday,
mine.
On Wednesday.
Tomorrow's mine.
Well, happy birthday.
Yeah, well.
Lots of April birthdays.
You got it. Well, hey, we got to run. And with all that, right. Thanks for coming.
Okay. Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Well, the outro better start. It's not starting. Oh, my God. What's going on here? My outro. Well, let's see. With that, guys, have a good week. Listen to Money and Change this Sunday at 7 p.m. and check our Money and Change page to make sure that we are going to do a show and not have an encore edition. Your notification will be there. Check on the videos too. With that, guys, have a good week. Okay? We'll see you next week.
In a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.